We both took big trips this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Ours was a little, it was not as big.
Really? Yeah. Your pictures made it look big.
Well, Iceland, it's very vast. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like prone to like panoramic, like
gray
greatness.
Depressing.
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah. It's definitely that. Because I don't like
prone to panoraminous.
It is.
Yes.
It is. So it seems
panoraminous.
The mountains, the valleys,
yeah.
The highs, the lows. It's extreme. That's what I'm looking for. It's extreme.
I'm just so rough-hewn. It's just very rough-hewn.
I think you should do this whole episode using that voice.
So you went to the Westeros, that's right.
We did. We didn't have a plan.
So you're going to talk about the Westeros a little bit.
A smidge, because we just, as I said before about the Ring Road, like you can pinky toe, we kind of pinky toed the West Fjords a little bit.
We went up north to Akureyri, which we kind of talked about a little bit when we talked about the Ring Road, but then we were like, we won't talk about Akureyri, because we'll talk about that later. And here we are, it's later. We just went, and we have a lot to say about it.
Okay. Do you want to go first? Oh, wait.
What?
So this is the Raisin at Thought Dog's End.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Man, we are not good at this.
We're amateurs.
When are we ever going to learn?
I don't know. It's just we get excited. We start gabbing.
Yeah.
And then we forget the formalities. This is why people have producers and shit.
I mean, but who doesn't know what they're listening to already?
Yeah, they should know by now.
Because
and they should.
A, they're listening to our voices.
Yes.
Which, after listening to this a couple of times, are very distinct. Slightly grating, but good-natured, I want to say.
You know, well-intentioned, even though I know where that road leads to good intentions and all, but still, it's still nice.
I mean,
we're endearing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, those kids are endearing.
Endearing.
I just feel like the last couple of episodes, oh boy, here we go. It's late in the evening here in Iceland. We're winding things down.
You know, just got the kids to bed, at least your kids to bed.
Yeah.
My kids are at the pool.
I just feel like our last two episodes were a little meandering.
Yeah.
But we're just figuring things out right now. We might actually stumble on something amazing.
See? A diamond in the rough.
A diamond in the roof.
That's what we are.
Yes.
Diamonds in the rough.
Yes.
It always makes me think of, what's his name? Jafar.
Jafar?
From Aladdin.
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. You've never seen Aladdin?
I you know what else I've never seen? Sound of Music.
Oh my God.
I know, it's bad.
I mean, I can kind of understand Aladdin. That's like after your time. I had younger siblings, so that's how I saw Aladdin. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have ever seen it.
Right, because it wasn't a kid's movie. I mean, you weren't a kid when it was.
I wasn't a kid, but my little brother and sister watched that shit over and over again. Yeah. So, yeah, Jafar, a diamond in the rough.
Ah, that's where that's from?
He says that about, what's his name? About Aladdin.
Okay.
Wait, was it Jafar that said it? Now I'm...
I can't help you on this one, my friend.
Yeah, things are blurring together with age.
Okay. I mean, I have a four-year-old, so we should be watching a lot of Disney. We see the new ones. We've seen Frozen, Moana, and Coco.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, but The Rescuers is where I left off. I remember that she was like an orphan, wasn't she?
Was she? I can't really remember it clearly.
I remember really being into like orphan fantasy when
I remember
was a kid,
the
which is terrifying
book.
For my parents probably, but like all the good ones were like Annie was an orphan, was an orphan.
That's how the Disney movies work. That's how a lot of children's literature works. Like, how is the kid going to have an adventure if they have a parent taking care of them?
That's right.
So if they don't have parents,
kill them off.
All kinds of shit can happen. But with the parents, they're like, just, you know, you're a writer. I'm a writer. From a writing standpoint. If you're going to make a child's life exciting, you kind of have to get rid of the people that are going to put barriers in the way to keep them safe and keep them from doing dumb shit.
Right. I remember the one that really struck me the most was James and the Giant Peach. Do you remember how his parents died?
James and the Giant Peach, it's so fantastic. It's one of my favorites all time. I remember distinctly my mother reading that book to us. So good.
One of my favorites. I'm reading it as Astrid right now.
Wait, was it a crocodile that ate them? What happened? No. I can't remember.
It was a rhinoceros.
Oh, rhinoceros, right. Trampled them. Right.
No, ate them.
Ate them?
Yeah.
But rhinos are vegetarian.
Well, this is not based in reality.
Oh, okay. Right. So you're saying...
Suspend your disbelief.
You're saying Willy Wonka is not real.
Not real either. Not based on true events.
Oh, what about Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Nope. Animals don't talk.
Well, shucks.
What were we talking? How did we get to James and the Giant Peach and like orphan fantasies?
Orphan fantasy, Bianca.
Oh, Jafar.
Jafar. Because we're
diamond is in the rough. Yes, there we go.
There we go. Bringing it back around. We made it. We made it back.
Impressive.
Woo.
So do you want to talk about the Westfjords?
Sure. It was a very brief trip. It was just overnight. So the
but it was just the two of you guys, right?
It was just the two of us.
That's nice.
The oldest child was off at soccer training something or another. Mm-hmm. And the youngest was with grandma. And
orphan style, basically.
Orphan. Well, you know, with a grandparent. That's not really... I mean, it's semi-orphan, I guess. Nah. he was orphaned.
Orphan adjacent.
Adjacent. So we wanted to take Rosie out to try out our new camping gear. We bought some camping gear.
And Rosie is not your third-party lover, right?
No.
Right? I mean, or in a way, I guess.
Well, if you ask my husband, he might say that. No, she's our truck. She's our Suzu Troopa.
A Suzu Troopa.
And the husband made a plywood platform thing. So you can fold down the seats, put down the plywood, and...
Oh, sounds so comfortable.
And an air mattress.
Oh, there you go.
And sleeping bags. So you can sleep. We can sleep in the truck.
You just fill the truck right up to the brim.
Well, you know what?
Just slide it on top.
I thought that we
like
would be
like a dollar bill in a vending machine.
Our noses would be touching the roof, but they weren't. They weren't. I could actually sit up.
Okay, there you go.
So it wasn't too bad.
That sounds great, actually.
I could sit up with my neck bent a little bit.
Now, are you familiar with the Pontiac Aztec? Have I shown you pictures of this car?
You did show me the pictures.
When this car came out in, like, I don't know, like the 2000s, I thought it was going to go far. Because it was a truck that had a tent built into the back of the vehicle.
It does sound handy and very American.
Right?
Like a Swiss Army knife of a truck.
Right.
Just like, oh, look, over here, you have
my
that.
Home is wherever I want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Like something that would be at the World's Fair on display.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Whatever happened to the World's Fair? Why did they stop doing the World's Fair? When was the last one? Like in the 30s?
I don't know, but if you go to like this Texas State Fair, if you ever took the time, you could go to the Better Living Pavilion, and there you would find the same kind of bullshit.
Okay.
Ginsu knives.
Is that where you found it? How did you discover this thing?
I was basically tuned in to the Aztec launch from the get go.
How?
Alex saw an early marketing campaign, and I was like, "Tell me more. This sounds amazing."
So it worked. They knew who to target. They
clearly
were like, put this in.
This
was
before the days of like Facebook ad targeting
and social media influencers.
Influencer
they
campaigns.
Didn't get you.
We can zero in on our demographics now with like razor like precision.
Yeah, razor. Laser.
Laser razors.
Laser.
Lasers and razors. That's how we get the ads.
That's another combo thing. You know, tit in a truck, a razor and a laser.
I didn't mean to off-road you.
Oh, wow. That was...
Let's bring it back.
Okay.
To the road. I'm sorry. We can edit this, right?
Okay, so bring it back.
Yes.
Where were we?
We
got the truck. Oh, yeah. So we have...
Snorri built the bed in the back.
He built the bed in the back. So we wanted... And we also got, like, our stove, our camping stove, our, like, the utensils, the blah, 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 blah.
So it's very romantic, clearly.
Oh, you know. It was meant to be romantic. So we go out, and the husband just... We pick a place. We're like, let's go north towards the West Fjords, because I've never been there. Mm. So we head north, we just drive, you know, stunning vista. Oh,
so fucking beautiful.
Beautiful. With the snow line, though, snow line is still pretty low.
Yeah, totally low.
Like,
you don't
almost,
go that far up the mountain to get
almost
snow.
Halfway down the mountains is the snow line.
Yeah.
And it's raining and hailing and snowing as we drive. I'm like, is this going to be fun once we get to wherever we're going?
Yeah.
But there are breaks in the clouds. We stop. We take pictures of churches. Or just one church. Because I like the little Icelandic churches in the countryside.
You do love to photograph a church.
They're so cute. I feel like they're just so quintessentially Icelandic. The
it's
tiny little
because
churches.
They're not super close to Jesus. I mean, I don't want to put words in my mouth.
You know, I met Jesus at a very young age.
Yes.
So, you know, I have respect for Jesus. But I am not a churchgoer.
No.
So
you're just a church photographer.
I'm a church photographer. I respect the church, and I think these churches are very photogenic.
Yeah, they are.
So I take their picture. I say, hey, church, how you doing? You mind if I take a picture? And they don't seem to mind.
The rural churches are pretty photogenic.
Yeah.
The city churches, have you seen some of them?
I'm not a fan of modern churches in general.
Well, it looks like that they landed here, basically.
They like spaceships, don't they?
From another planet.
Or like some architect who just graduated and is like, I'm going to make the best church ever. It's going to be so modern. And it's going to be butt ugly is what it's going to be.
In Braithwaite, they have this one that looks like a teepee.
Really?
Have you seen it? Yeah.
Oh, wait. Have I seen the church? I don't think I have.
That one's the one that really pushes the envelope for me.
Yeah. What were they thinking?
I don't know.
Oh. That's unfortunate. So the cute country churches.
Cute country churches.
Took a picture of that. We keep on driving. We just pick a spot to drive up. We end up going up. You might know this road. It's the old road to Ísafjörður. It's called Þorskafjarðarheiði.
Þorskafjarðarheiði.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Sure.
So it's like the old dirt road.
Okay.
To go there. Like you break off from 60 and you go up this gravelly road. There was a sign there. Just to the side, like not totally blocking the road, saying, you know, the pass is blocked with snow, so you can't make it all the way over the mountain.
So you guys turned around?
No, no, no. The sign says, let me tell you, the sign says, so, you know, if something happens up there, it's going to be very expensive to get help for you. It says it's in Icelandic and in English. And the husband says, we're just going to gleefully ignore that sign. And I was like, what?
My God. Oh, you guys are so... You guys are such daredevils.
He gets the spirit of adventure. You know, he gets behind the wheel of that car, and he's just like, let's do it!
Yeah.
So we head up, and everything is fine. Like, there's no snow for a little bit. The road itself is clear.
Are there others up there?
No, nobody else. Not a soul.
Oh, boy. There's like a track in front of you? Like,
yeah.
Other people where they had driven up there?
Well, it was just the road. Like, there wasn't a lot of snow on the dirt road.
Yeah.
Like, it was okay. But then we get up to, like, we go up. It's very steep, and we're winding and twisting. And I'm like, oh, this is when I call my friend Jesus that I met as a child. Oh, Jesus. Please, baby Jesus. Can you get in touch with Krishna and Buddha? Can y'all just keep an eye? Because I don't know. We go up. Everything's fine. So he's like, oh, yeah, see, it's fine. It's totally fine. But then we get to a snowdrift that is, like, very wet and very heavy.
So you're driving through?
That we tried to drive through.
No.
And Rosie is like...
You don't want to hear that tried to drive through.
Rosie's
you
want to
just drive through it or not.
She's like, no, not going to happen. And we try a couple of times. She's like, I said, no, that's not going to happen.
Whoa. Wait, is this the kind of deal like you're on the mountainside and this happens?
No, we're still on the road. Okay. It's just the road goes over the mountain.
Yeah.
And...
You're not like hugging... It's not like the...
Oh, no. We're not like hanging off. It's not a cliffhanger situation.
Ugh.
There's like, you know, plenty of space on either side. So we back it up, and we're going to head down. And then Snorri's like, well, maybe we could just, you know, be here for a little bit, have some tea. And it's a gorgeous view. Like, you have a view of the fjord, the Þorskafjörður, the cod ford, fjord.
Yeah. Cod fjord.
Because, you know, who doesn't love some cod? And there's probably lots of cod in there. But it's a beautiful view. Like, the light is reflecting off the water. It's very blue looking, and there's a little bit of snow around, and it's just like, oh, very peaceful. And then I realize I have to pee.
Ooh.
And I'm not a boy.
So did you just pull up to the next 7-Eleven?
No, because there's nothing out there. Like, not a damn thing.
Not like a bush to pee on.
Not even a bush. There's like a rock.
Yikes.
And I was like, oh, God damn it.
I bet it's a cold rock, too.
Oh, it's cold. It's chilly. And I was like, okay. I was like, I gotta do it.
TCB, taking care of business.
On a mountain, peeing on a mountain. Yes. I peed on a mountain. That's what I did in the cold. And it was hailing a little bit.
Did you feel closer to nature?
No, I didn't. I felt like nature. Why?
Did you feel like you lost a little bit of Lydia up there?
A little bit of my soul. And I felt so jealous of the menfolk who can just, you know, oh, I can just stand here and handle it and I'm done.
Yeah.
No, like, I had to expose my bits to the cold. I was like, oh, God damn it. And so I was like, well, it's like, there's nobody here.
Wait, so did you just, like, drive up a mountain, pee on it, and then turn around?
No. We had our tea. It turns out we forgot to get water.
But you had so much snow around you.
Yeah, it's not that much snow, actually. Mm. But we did find some running water. Some filtering through the mountain water.
Right.
That we filled up our water collapsible thingy with.
And that's perfectly safe to use that water.
Yeah. Okay. We did not die. We didn't get any kind of worms or anything.
No Giardia or anything like that. All right, that's great.
The water in Iceland is pretty damn clean.
Yeah, it's pretty clean.
Like, when we go out any other place and, like, hiking, it's like, oh, here's a river. Let's get some water. And we've done it a few times.
Does it taste right?
Does it taste right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's good.
This isn't gritty or anything like
that? No. It's very clear, cold, crisp, fresh water. It's delicious. Okay. I recommend it. When you come camping with us, I'm saying when, because I know you're resistant to the idea.
I am, yes.
But when you come camping with us, you can experience it for yourself. When is the word.
In Montana, when we used to drink out of the river streams.
Oh, see, Montana has had some issues now.
Well, it's not that. It's just like there's consistently like wildlife peeing upstream.
Yeah.
Like a deer just like shitting in your water.
Yeah, you don't have that here.
Yeah, because it's not that much wildlife.
No, and we were up in a mountain, so definitely nothing like that happening.
Right, because who goes up a mountain like that? No one in there, no creature in their right mind.
Yeah, clearly. I was not in my right mind. I was like, okay, husband, sure, I'll follow you. You know what you're doing, right? Oh, yeah, I totally know. So anyway, we make ourselves some cup of noodles, have some of our little snacks that we brought, get ready for bed, pull out the sleeping bag, set up everything nice and cozy. Now, while we've been doing this, preparing our meals and peeing and finding water, there have been clouds that have been coming over. They've been dark, menacing clouds. Mm. They've hailed, they've rained, and they've moved on. Hail, rain, move on. In the night, we hear the tiny tapping of hail, but it kind of keeps going.
It doesn't move on?
It's not moving on.
But you guys are in Rosie now, right?
We're in Rosie.
Yeah.
Sleeping, cozy, snug as a bug. But then I noticed that Snorri's woken up like a couple of times, like checking. And I'm like, what is he checking?
Ooh.
And then he's like, I think maybe we should go back down. This is 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, shit.
Because one side of Rosie is covered in snow.
Oh, gosh.
It's been snowing and not moving on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm not going to lie. At that moment, I was like, God damn it. See, this is why we shouldn't come here. We should go listen to the sign. Listen to the sign. Pay attention to the sign. This is why they said no, go up there.
I think you're not selling me on a camping trip.
But this isn't how we usually camp. We usually go to campsites.
Proper campsites.
This was just a, you know, romantic getaway with the husband.
Right.
And so we wanted to be like, oh, out in nature. Jesus.
Did you feel like some of the heroine-ness of it was romantic?
No, I didn't.
Did you feel close?
I felt...
He, like, saved you from, like, this treacherous snowstorm.
He put us in the treacherous snowstorm. It wasn't that treacherous. Like, Snorri's like, no, it's fine. It's, you know, it's just a little bit of snow. But we should probably go just in case it gets to be more.
Right.
And I was like, really? Because, you know, even though I spent a lot of, like, my whole adult life in New York and part of my adult life in Massachusetts. So I've seen crazy
snow. You've seen snow.
I've seen snow.
Yeah.
But when he was so sure that we would just, like, go down the mountain, everything would be fine, I was like, I don't know. Are we going to die? Oh, are we going to slide off the side of the mountain? Because it was pretty steep and winding.
Yeah.
But it was totally fine.
Also, like, we've passed the point of the year where you can have studded tires on your car now.
Yeah. But Rosie's hardcore. She was totally fine.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't, like, go dashing down the mountain. We went a little bit slower than
she
would have gone.
She is y'all's third-party lover.
She really is. She saved the day.
She keeps that marriage together, Rosie.
Let me help you out. It's like, you got us into this mess, Rosie. Me and all big and bad. I could totally do this.
So do you think we'll go back to the West Fjords now?
I think we will. It was stunningly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Some things I noticed. So 3 a.m., we go down. We continue further into the West Fjords.
Oh, you went, okay.
We went further to find some place to sleep for the rest of the night. We ended up stopping in Djupedalur.
Yeah.
And there's just a little...
Oh, do you mean Poopedalur?
Yes. This is where... So there's a farm there. And there are so many cute little baby lambs everywhere. Everywhere.
It is lambing season.
So adorable. And
they spring, don't they?
They do.
They're like spring and frolic.
And they're just running around. And we would stop at the side of the road as we were looking for some place to sleep. And just look at them. And the, you know, the mom sheep would look at us like, who are you? This is not farmer.
Don't eat my babies.
And I was like, sorry. And they would like scuttle off like, don't touch my babies. But they were so cute.
How could someone go out and think like, I think I'll eat that?
You know, they have the sweetest little faces.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet. And
they're very trusting, too.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, people get hungry enough. There you go.
Yeah.
Little lamb. Your dinner. So, yeah, we stopped by this. There's a farm and there was a what you call that? With the wood and the fences. A sheep pen.
A sheep pen, okay.
This is where they had the sheep that didn't have babies. I don't know if these are just rams and ewes that didn't have
babies. All the single ladies?
All the single ladies and men, mm-hmm. perhaps. I couldn't really tell. One of them looked like it was like a ram, like it had really big horns. But I don't know if that really makes a difference with sheep between male and female.
Because some of the ewes have horns as well.
Exactly. So I don't know. Anyway, we pull up to them and they go scuttling off. They're like, we don't know you.
We don't know you.
We don't know you. Because, you know, you see the farmers with the sheep and the sheep are like, hey, you know, this is our farmer.
Yeah.
But a stranger, they're like, nope, thanks. Notice a big sign. It's not big, but it was a round sign. I posted it on Instagram with a silhouette of a figure squatting and something, a little ball falling from its ass.
Poo.
The no sign, like the little circle line through it. As in, no shitting here. Clearly, there have been people, because this is a great place to stop, actually, this farm. If you come down off of that pass, it's like the perfect spot. There's like a river, a little stream, a little open space, perfect place to just like stop. And I guess people have been stopping and shitting.
But this wasn't the farmer who put this sign up. This was like...
put the sign up.
No, this is like a national road sign.
Oh, it is. It is like the sign.
It's like the no pooping sign.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's... people may think we've been exaggerating, but it's a problem, the pooping.
Yeah.
So much so that there's a sign that they just post up. Don't poop here, goddammit.
I wonder if that means that, like, the place down the road gets all the business then.
Maybe.
Because, like, this guy's got the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if people think, like, no pooping here, but this one's not marked.
Yeah, but you know what? So the farm there, they have a sign that has the sign for accommodation, like a little bed and a swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we decided to stop there. It's like, oh, swimming pool. So in the morning, we can go to the pool, take a shower,
right.
Use a real toilet. Yeah. It'll be fantastic. So we get up next morning, head over to where the sign said that there's a pool and accommodation. We don't need the accommodation, but we're looking for the pool. We notice a little pipe sticking out of the mountain just a distance away with some smoke coming out of it. We're like, so there's a geothermal pool perhaps here that mm-hmm. they've tapped into, and that's why the pool is here. No sign of a pool, though. Like, we're looking around. It's like, maybe it's like a natural pool, but we don't see anything. We do see this really big shed is what it looks like. Looks like just an oversized shed. We're like, could that be where the pool is? That would be weird.
Inside the shed?
It's not really a shed. It's like a double wide of a shed.
Okay.
It's like not huge, but not tiny.
Uh-huh.
We drive up to it and there's like a fenced off area behind it. We're like, maybe this is it. So we stop. Snorri goes to have a look around, reads the sign. It's like, yeah, there's like a couple of hot tubs back there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go up to the farm and get the key and pay a fee to use
the hot tubs.
Yeah. But it was like, the fence was so high, like if you're in the hot tub, you can't see anything.
That's too bad.
And apparently, I looked online, there's also a pool. It says there's an indoor pool there.
Okay.
So I'm like, is there a pool inside that little building? It was not a huge building.
Right.
So it was like a tiny indoor pool, like where you can't see anything, definitely can't see anything.
Right.
No mountains, no panoramic extreme vista of, Iceland.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed.
I feel like there's a lot of those around the country, places where people have sort of tapped in the geothermal water and mm-hmm. built their own little pool of some sort.
Yeah.
Some of them are cooler than others. Like, some of them are like in the center of towns
mm-hmm.
and you pay like a small fee and you can use them. And some of them are on the honor system where they just like drop whatever you want in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Others are like, you have to get a key from somebody. There was one, I don't remember where it was, but it was like a former cheese making vat.
What?
Yeah. And they...
Oh, so like the fish... tubs that they sometimes use to turn into like cold for the hot tub and cold tub.
Yes.
Is it that kind of situation?
Yeah, but it's huge. It's like an industrial cheese tub. But the thing is that like when they changed it, when they like made it into a pool, they didn't change the name of it. They still call it the cheese vat.
So you go for a swim in the cheese vat.
Yeah, which is kind of gross.
Is that the name of the swimming pool is called that?
Yeah, they call it the cheese vat.
What is that in Icelandic?
I don't remember. Ostaker or something like that.
Mm, okay.
It was gross.
Let's go swim in the cheese.
Because when we went there, at the end of the winter, you're in Iceland and you're sort of letting all your flab hang out and everyone's very white and just like pasty looking. And it's just
the pastiness can be a little overwhelming, I gotta say.
There was a lot of cheese happening in that vat, is what I'm saying.
Ooh, and you're like, no, thank you.
I mean, they just underscored it by calling it the cheese vat. Yeah.
Yeah. So we didn't go into this pool. So I was like, it's not worth it. We're going to find another pool. Mm-hmm. So we were on our way back to Reykjavik. We're like, we'll just stop around, see what pools are open. And a lot of them weren't open.
Because it was Pentecost.
Because it was Pentecost, one of them was closed in a town, and it was just because it was Sunday. Like, they just don't open it on Sundays.
Oh, okay.
And this one pool that had, like, barbed wire.
Really? They weren't open around the fence. I feel like normally Sunday is, like, a big pool day.
Yeah.
Huh, that's strange.
But I guess it was a pretty small town. I can't remember which one it was. Was it Loiger? Loiger? I think.
I don't know that town.
I think that one was closed. Yeah. Because, and it just was a closed on Sunday pool that had the barbed wire to keep the teens out. Uh-huh. Don't want them out there partying. At the pool.
The youths.
Two youths. What is that? My cousin Vinny?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we went to that one. It was closed. We went to another one. It was only open between 4 and 6, and we were too early. Hmm. And we saw like two other cars that did like the same circuit as us, like around that town. Like, where's the pool? How do we get in? And discovering it's closed. Not open till 4.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that is super disappointing.
Yeah, because we kind of wanted to just stop in a little, because that's the thing we like to do, stop in a little town, check out their pool. And they were all closed. So we didn't get a pool until we got to Borgarnes.
Oh, I like their pool there.
Yeah, it's a nice pool. And I was like, oh, look, we're stopping just like Jonah said we should.
Did you guys get the vegan buffet?
We didn't stop for $2,200.
No, well, then you guys did it right.
But we did meet some friends, met some people that my husband knows, and soaked in a hot tub.
Did they say, hi?
No, they didn't. It was just a hi. Okay. It was a hi and a wave, and then we chatted in the hot tub.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Then we came on back to the city.
Yeah. So it sounds like it was kind of an okay trip, right?
It was pretty good. And, oh, this was something else I wanted to mention about this. So the West Fjords, if you know what a fjord is, right, it's just this water inlet that is just like deep.
Keeps on going.
It just keeps going deeper, like in between usually like massive mountains.
Right, like sheer rock sides sometimes.
Right. And the thing about Iceland is that they want to make sure they have power out there in the West Fjords. So there are power lines
every which way
across the fjords. And I was like, this is some engineering, like genius magnificence. The people who built this shit need to be fucking proud.
Well, they don't have a lot of geothermal energy up there.
Yeah.
So they have to bring power to that part of the country.
Yeah, exactly. And there were these massive, the fjord that we were in, on either side, these three massive, like, concrete tripods. Like, huge. Snorri said they reminded him of, like, Soviet-era monuments or something. They were so, like, brutalist. Like, these big, huge things, like, anchoring the power lines on either side. And there was like on an island in the middle of the fjord was like another tower to like carry the power line.
It's kind of cool to see things like that because you're reminded of just like how sort of sewn patchwork together this place is.
Yeah. And just how they care about the people living out in the middle of Bubba Fuck West Fjords. They're like, no, we'll get you some power. It's going to take a whole lot of manpower and creative thinking.
Yeah, it's an enormous undertaking to build all that infrastructure.
And I can't imagine, like, the people that have to, like, they probably have to, like, stay in some town or at a farm, like, while they build this shit.
Yeah.
Because it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's far away from the roads, because it's electricity.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And I'm so glad they did it, because we were in East Fjord one Christmas, and the power went out. Oh, my God. There was an enormous amount of snow. The plow had been down the main streets in East Fjord, and there was literally walls of snow that were way taller than I am, like maybe twice as tall as I am.
And how tall are you?
I'm 7'3". No, I'm like 5'11", I think. I don't know. I'm just like an average height person.
What's that in centimeters, do you know?
180
okay.
centimeters. Mm-hmm. You're really grilling me on how tall I am.
Well, I just want people to be able to visualize.
Okay. I'm just like a normally sized guy, I think.
Yes.
So they were like, they were so much snow. It was so cold. And they had to do like rolling power with like the diesel generators that they had left. I mean, man, when things get cut off there.
Right.
You realize how far away you are from everything. Mm-hmm. How that, it's like, that's a lifeline. Those power cables that go up there.
Mm-hmm.
They do look kind of cool too against the rough-hewn nature.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic.
It doesn't ruin it somehow.
It doesn't. And the thing is, I was so pissed off because while we were not stranded, I'm being dramatic. We were up on the mountain. My phone got so cold that the power, like I took a few pictures, posted on Instagram, then my phone was like, I'm done.
Bye-bye.
And, you know, like we have to turn on the car to charge it, and I was just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So I didn't get any pictures, but It's magnificent.
Yeah. It's pretty cool up there, huh?
It's like nature meets man, but like in a very amazing way.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was our trip. And then we made it back to civilization. And I, you know, thank the baby Jesus and Krishna and Buddha.
And you vow never to go
and them.
A snowy mountain again?
Oh, I probably will. Who am I kidding? You know, I live with a mountain goat, so.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen again. And we're going to bring you.
Okay, well, we'll see about that.
You and the husband and kids.
Yeah.
Come play. Come hang out with us.
We went to Akureyri this weekend. And we went because...
The city of the north.
The city of the north. We went because I have a niece there. Oh. It's Gisli's niece.
So your niece.
She was having her confirmation. And I'll talk about that a little bit.
Give them the Icelandic word, please.
Ferming.
There you go.
Ferming.
It's like a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah confirmation.
Coming of age.
Coming sort of
ceremony.
Age.
So we went up there for that, but we sort of like took the opportunity to be tourists up there too, which is a lot of fun.
Make a little family trip of it.
Exactly, because, hey kids, we're going to Akureyri. Get the camera.
They were excited, huh?
Yeah, everyone was pretty excited to go up there.
Oh, great.
Because it's a big, it's a long trek. Especially with little kids in the car. It's 5 hours.
Yeah.
Luckily the kids slept most of the way. We drove to, like, you know, like you say, like wherever you drive, that's a part of the country that's not a whole lot to stop and do.
No.
But still, it's just gorgeous. We go through mountain passes, you go through lava fields.
You see waterfalls that are blowing in the wind.
Just stunning.
Because it's so freaking windy.
Just good job.
You're like, why is the waterfall going sideways?
That's why, because you open your door and it takes it right off the car.
It really, that almost happened a couple of times. I was like, hold on, Rosie, hold on. I just need to go pee. Sorry, continue.
So we got up there. We stayed in a nice little apartment up there. And we had a great time in Akureyri.
Did you stay like in an Airbnb? You said you stayed in an apartment. Or was it a relative's apartment?
We had a friend, Gisli's sister. Okay. Had a friend who let us use their apartment.
Okay, great.
But there are lots of Airbnbs up there. We were looking to do an Airbnbs too, and it was great. It wasn't
so you
terribly
get
expensive.
Airbnb is up there. Okay, I wouldn't have thought.
Oh yeah, you can get them all over the country.
Okay.
Like in Ísafjörður, they also have them.
Really?
In Hnífsdalur, right outside of Ísafjörður, like the suburb of this like 1,500 man village, you can get an Airbnb there.
Airbnb is every freaking where. Okay, yeah. Good to know.
If Icelanders can make a buck off of it, you betcha they're gonna rent it out.
Yeah.
So it's a funny shaped town because it's like deep, deep in this very, very narrow fjord.
Yeah.
And one side of the fjord is the town, and the other side is completely blank.
Yeah.
So wherever you are in the town, you're like looking out over to the other side.
Yeah.
And you just reminded the fact that you are in the middle of nowhere.
But I think that's good city planning.
Yeah.
You can
totally.
You have a view wherever you are.
And we talked about like the sides of fjords being sheer, rock-faced. Like it could be very steep. And that's not true always. But this is a city that's like carved into the hillside. And you feel that as you like go into the city. Like this, these very steep roads that go up.
Right,
and that's just steps and stuff
and
like
that. And
that's
the church at the top of 5 billion steps.
Exactly. There's a zillion steps leading up to this really cool looking church.
Yeah. And if you know people in Akureyri, they're like, oh, where does this person live? You're like, oh, they're on that side of the church. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the church is like a big landmark in the middle of the city. They have a cute little downtown strip where we spent a little bit of time. It's mainly tourist shops, but there's also some like cafes and stuff like that. There's this little yellow building that is so cute looking, and it's called the Indian Curry Hut, which I think is an adorable name for it.
Was there like a lone like Indian person that lived like, in Akureyri?
Feeling very lost.
Like, you know what? Do something to keep myself entertained up here. I'm gonna open up a curry shop because,
and I'm gonna put it in this adorable little house.
Yes, I am, and I'm gonna bring some flavor to Akureyri.
There we go.
Because it's gonna kill me.
We didn't get to eat there, unfortunately. It was closed when we were there. But we did eat at this cafe called Blauwekannen.
And what is Blauwekannen?
The blue pitcher.
The blue pitcher, like a water pitcher?
Yeah, like a water pitcher.
Oh, that's a nice name.
It is a huge house.
Yeah.
It's palatial.
And it's a cafe?
Uh-huh, and it's a cafe.
Does it fill the whole thing?
It doesn't fill the whole thing. I think one side is the cafe, and there might be like a fancy restaurant on the other side.
Okay.
But even though it's only half of this house, it's massive inside. I mean, it is really, really massive. The food was okay. I mean, it was super expensive because you're in Iceland, but the food was not that great. But the interior totally made up for it.
It did.
Yeah, it totally did.
What was the style?
This, the style is like, I think it's what people think Iceland is going to be like. It was like rich woods and like exposed beams. Mm. And it was like animal skins.
Oh, God.
And, you know, I thought like I was going to be served like this buttery alcoholic drink served in like a ram's skull. And we were going to sing like heady drinking songs and be pulled on slaves by like great woolly beasts. It's like that sort of like feeling on the inside.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Exactly. Ooh.
Like the marching Vikings.
Right, 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 right.
Yes. Okay.
So that's how good it was inside.
All right.
It was good that like my shitty vegetable soup, I didn't feel so shitty about it.
Okay. Nice atmosphere.
Nice atmo.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of choices up there though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touristy place, so there's lots of places to go. There's like a fish and chips place, a hamburger place, all sorts of stuff. And there's a because it's Iceland,
yeah.
There's a gigantic bookstore, of course.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Of all the businesses they're going to have, a gigantic bookstore is the one that thrives there. I think it's really cool that there's a giant bookstore there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like in America, we're losing bookstores hand over fist because of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no Amazon here.
Yeah.
And bookstores.
Tell me about it.
I mean, for whatever, for like better or worse, there's no Amazon here, and bookstores thrive because people like to read here.
That's a great thing, and I think that helps keep the language alive.
Yeah, there's so many books, and people like to read. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, I was just proud that like that was like the big store there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else did we do? Oh, the giant. We went. So we crossed over to the empty side.
Okay.
And there's this great place there called Sapnasapni, which means like the museum of museums, or like actually the word Icelandic word for museum means collection.
Yeah
So it's like the collection of collections, or the museum of collections. So this museum is, it's meant to be outsider art and folk art.
Okay.
And by outsider art they mean
creepy.
Well, I don't know what to expect, really. I thought maybe folk art was going to be sort of, I don't know.
You thought it was just going to be like bad art?
Yeah, like puff paint and I don't know.
No, but it's like more like handcrafted, like crafty art, no?
Yes and no. I mean, the collection is vast and various. There is, when they talk about outsider art, I think they mean art made by, obviously, untrained artists.
Like naive art, yeah.
Right, like naive art. And they make some amazing things. There's this one guy there, Ragnar Bjarnason, and he makes these sculptures out of concrete.
Okay.
And they're a little bit childlike, but they're also, they're just kind of amazing too, because they're big.
Yeah.
They have lots of boobies. Ragnar was interested in having the boobies out, I think.
Well, boobs are kind of amazing. They're great, you know.
But they're not like, the women in them are not like too like sexualized, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's one, I posted a lot of pictures on Instagram for this museum. There's one of this like person holding a baby naked with her boobs out, and the baby is odd looking. The baby looks like a tiny little man.
Oh.
But she's, her leg is being like bitten by a black dog.
Yeah, it's not just being, it's not just the biting, it's like flesh is removed and there's blood.
I made like an audible sigh when I saw that one, I think. And the woman who runs the museum, she her only response that was like, love hurts. And I was like, really? You think that's what it's about?
Yeah. I was like, but, I don't think so, lady.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean. I like that you can go in there and you can really enjoy the work. Mm-hmm. It's very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, there's not, you know, these are not super heady pieces at all. But they had like a lot of different collections. Like they had like a mini liquor bottle collection. They also had that kind of collection.
Yeah.
Dolls of the World.
Mm-hmm.
They had this great thing that kids from Grennivik, which is the next little village up on that side of the fjord. And they made papier-mâché versions of all the houses in town.
Oh, that's cool.
It's beautiful because they're wildly colored. The proportions are all out of whack because they're kids that are making them. But it's so cool to see them. The whole museum itself, too, is pretty amazing. Like, it's the inside has all been redone. And it's all like, it's like a white wall gallery that they've got set up. So they're really, like, elevating these things that people have sort of squirted out. You know what I mean?
Squirted out.
The outside, they have this giant metal giant.
Okay. Here's the giant.
Yeah. That's the giant that we took our picture with. Okay. They also have some... Well, one of the cool things is, like, the people who run the museum also live there. So at some point in the museum, there's a window that looks into their home.
Ooh.
And, like, not like their living room. It's like you look. It looks into their kitchen and their dining room, where like their family is. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
So there was like I looked into this one thing, and I thought it was like I thought it was an installation or something like that.
Yeah, or like the rooms, like at museums sometimes. Yeah. They like preserve like rooms.
Exactly.
Yeah, you thought it was something like that.
But it was a dude making breakfast, like in his PJs with like bedhead. And I'm sure he's used to just people. Oh no, no waving. I mean, I'm sure he's used to people just like looking in on him doing this stuff. Which I thought was kind of funny, but I also kind of like that.
It's very postmodern.
Very postmodern. They deconstructed the whole living situation. But there was this other woman who did. She was an untrained artist. I think she had gone to the art academy. Mm-hmm. So really, they're not sticking to. Might be too strict about who they let in there. Mm-hmm. But she does these little pencil drawings.
Oh yeah.
And they're sort of like.
You think she went to university?
No, she did. She did. I think it said that in her bio.
For art?
Yeah, for artwork.
Okay.
I like her. I like her work a lot, though. Mm-hmm. Her drawings are like super stylized. They're not glamorous at all. Mm-mm. And they just have like a sentence underneath them. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it sounds like overheard conversations, mm-hmm. which I really like.
Yeah.
Kristin Ómarsdóttir has some, who's a poet and an artist. She has some stuff there. She does stuff with like sexuality. Mm-hmm. Her drawings are pretty cool too. Anyway, I was so impressed with this whole museum. Mm-hmm. They had like embroidered landscapes from the 50s.
That was cool looking.
They look amazing.
Yeah. It's like somebody had to sit down and do that.
Exactly. This woman did these cranes folded out of like atlas pages. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The whole things are like also like people get a little bit obsessive about something, mm-hmm. like embroidery mm-hmm. or like origami, and they just like run with it.
Right.
I was totally hook, line, and sinker mm-hmm. for this museum. I'm trying to think about the big thing that we went there though.
Exactly the reason you were going.
Wait, before we get to that, I had to say about one of the places that we went.
Okay.
It was we went there on our way out of town. Actually, we got lunch at this farm.
Okay.
And it's called Café Coux, and which means cow cafe.
Okay.
And you have to drive into the fjord a little bit to this farm. Mm-hmm. And you are out in the boondocks when you're on your way out there. Mm-hmm. And you go into the restaurant, and it looks like a normal restaurant when you first walk in. Mm-hmm. The whiff of farm life smacks you in the face as soon as you're in there.
I don't know if I want that in my cafe.
You know, we talked about this before. The cow shit smell is an earthy smell. But it gets more awkward than that.
Oh, dear.
They have very local food there. They get all their baked goods from Soyacocot, which is a little village down the way. Mm-hmm. Their beef comes from the cows that you can view from the dining room.
No.
Which is a full panorama, like glass encased dining room that sits up over the milking shed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can say, I want that cow.
It's like, you know how some restaurants have a lobster tank?
Yeah.
This one had like a cow tank, basically.
Oh, boy. And we were just talking about how nice cows are. See, they're so nice. And then we're like, I'm going to eat you.
Now, I think that, I mean, the cows that you sit over are the milking cows.
Yeah.
I don't know who gets into the hamburgers, mm-hmm. but it's not the same cows. I mean, it's essentially like, I'm sure they're like relatives.
That's the hamburger's mother.
But like, they don't have that much on the menu. It's like a hamburger or goulash soup. Mm. And the food, you can also get just like toasted bagels there. You don't have to like partake in like the weirdness of like eating a hamburger in front of a cow, which is odd. It's odd.
Yeah.
You can have a bagel with just like pesto and cheese. Oh, the food was really good. We enjoyed it. We had really nice food there. They had really good potatoes there, like mm-hmm. pesto potatoes with walnut. And the whole thing was a surprise, actually. Because mm-hmm. normally, you know, food in Iceland, you know, it can be hit or miss. It can be hit or miss, especially when you're out in the rural areas, out in the countryside.
Yeah.
It can be pretty basic. But this was nice. So the whole reason we went there was for the confirmation.
Yes.
So have you been to an Icelandic confirmation?
I have been to an Icelandic confirmation.
They're kind of a big deal here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like their coming of age party here. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, a quinceañera or a bat mitzvah. Nope.
Bat mitzvah or bar.
Yes, combine the bart. Words into a bat mitzvah. It's like this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And people shell out the cash for these things.
Let me tell you, I was confirmed Episcopalian when I was 13. No party, no nothing, just a little ceremony at church, and I got my own Book of Common Prayer. So I feel like I was gypped.
Your own Book of Common Prayer?
My own personal Book of Common Prayer.
Sign me up. Mm-hmm. And salvation, of course. Eternal salvation.
And eternal salvation, that too.
Yeah, so a lot of the ceremonies are religious, mm-hmm. still. This mm-hmm. one that we went to was religious. There was a little ceremony in the Church of 1,000 Stairs.
Mm-hmm. But you can also, there are also confirmations that are just like humanist ceremonies that are non-religious.
Yeah, or, civil, just like civil yeah, confirmations.
Exactly. Yeah,
which I think are kind of cool, actually, because like the catechism or whatever that you go through mm-hmm. has nothing to do with religion at all, right. obviously. Like at the university, I think if you do it at the university, you take like an ethics class, mm-hmm. which is a kind of great way to become an adult, actually.
Yeah.
And they have like police officers come in and be like, these are the mistakes that we've seen people make.
Mm-hmm. Don't let it be you, kids.
Yeah, don't do this. Don't be stupid. Mm-hmm. Which, what a great opportunity
yeah.
to like get those stories in front of kids' mm-hmm. faces. Other things they do, like they teach like smart finance stuff.
That's
it's like, this is how you open a bank account. Mm-hmm. This is how you rent an apartment. This is how you finance a car.
Mm-hmm.
God, I wish someone had done that for me at some point. Do you yeah. know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, nobody did that for you.
Well, certainly not part of any sort of like program.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't part of a program.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
but, yeah.
I had to rely on my parents for like that, or yeah. my family to like explain those things to me.
Mm-hmm.
But like having like someone systematically come in and explain some important mm-hmm. things to me, so valuable.
I think that'd be
such a cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you end up doing, like the humanist or the civil or the religious ceremony,
mm-hmm.
kids get big presents.
Yeah.
And they eat a lot of cake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of people just get cash.
Yeah.
And a lot of cash.
A lot of cash.
And cake. Let's go back to the cakes for just a second. There's this one cake that I really enjoy. It's called a kansakaka, mm-hmm. which means a wreath cake.
Okay.
And it's just these like circles of pastry that have mm-hmm. marzipan inside them.
And they get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah. I'm doing this on my hands right now and you can't see.
Yes. It's a big circle on the bottom, tiny circle on top.
Right. And you just stack these up into like a little pyramid of dough.
It's like those ring things you used to play with as a baby.
Right.
Yeah. But marzipan.
But with marzipan and like white chocolate icing. Mm-hmm. Really just very good. And they do, like, these meringue cakes, which are really crunchy and tasty, and they have fruit inside them. And they do, like, these, like, crazy Rice Krispie sculptures.
Because who doesn't need a Rice Krispie sculpture?
I love that they do that.
Because I'm grown now. Look at my Rice Krispie sculpture.
I just think that I associate Rice Krispies with, like, super basic
yeah.
squares, you know, yeah. that you cut out of the thing. But why, see, not, why not sculpt it?
Because you're not grown yet.
That's
right.
You're
having just the squares. When you're grown,
when you're an adult,
you get a fancy sculpture.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they did a really nice job with this one.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too fancy. It wasn't too, like, low-key. It was just...
Were there a lot of speeches?
There were just no speeches. No, I mean, there was a church ceremony.
But the kid didn't give a little mm-hmm. thing? Oh, okay.
They had, like, pictures of her up on the projector.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice to see her, like, growing older, growing up.
Growing older.
Well, she was getting older. She was, like, becoming an adult.
But like, when you, I think, like, I'm growing older. We're growing older.
We are growing older. By the second.
Oh, there goes another one. God damn it.
But it was nice that they had, like, elements from her childhood in there. Mm-hmm. They had, like, her soccer uniforms over the ages. And, oh, yeah, I liked
over
it.
Over the ages. She's 13, 14 years old.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, over the years. I'll say
yeah, yeah.
Man, you are picking me apart tonight, aren't you?
I just find it funny when they, these kinds of things. When
over the like, ages.
Or not just, not that you said over the ages, but just how we treat this kind of thing. Because it's, I feel like it's, I feel like it's a great thing to mark this, but yeah. I feel like it's a leftover from when people didn't live that long. And so
like, they were like, life is half over.
Yeah. So like you're 13, 14. Yeah. You're going to seriously be taking on some responsibility and you know, your childhood is over.
That's
and
look, right.
this
Please
was
get
your
pregnant
childhood
before you die.
Here, that was it. Now you're an adult. Whereas now, you know, kids haven't really lived that much at this age, and they aren't going to have a lot of responsibility in the coming years. Like, it's going to be a little bit later that they're going to have serious responsibility.
Yet, know? I feel like kids of this age are super sophisticated.
Yeah. Well, they think they are.
I don't know. I think maybe not all of them, but they're sophisticated in, like, a very certain way. Like, mm-hmm. they're a lot more worldly, I think, than maybe we were when we were that age. So what else did you do this weekend?
What else did I do this weekend? So
did you watch?
I did watch the. Are you talking about when? What's her name? That girl. She's on that show. What's her name? Megan, right. She married that guy, Harry.
Megan and Harry.
Megan and Harry had a little, they had a little ceremony.
When Megan met Harry.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we planned our West Fjords trip, I thought I was going to miss the wedding. I thought we were going to, you know, drop off the kids and then just head straight out.
Right.
Turns out it was going to take a little while to drop off the oldest. I was home alone. Not alone, actually. I was with Nicholas. And I was checking my Twitter feed and my whatnot. And I was like, oh, my goodness. The wedding is today. And it's like the pre-show has already started. Like, it's the Super Bowl. Let me get on and just see what they're doing. So I got sucked into the wedding that way. I was a little surprised that I was going to get that sucked into it. But once you start watching,
yeah,
it's the spectacle. It's the everyone like, oh, what is she going to wear? What is the dress going to be like? And here come, and all the celebrities start showing up. And you're like, oh, my goodness, what's happening? So I'm tweeting and I'm watching and I'm tweeting.
I didn't know I was going to be able to see it either. But we were getting ready to go to the confirmation.
See?
We were getting Astrid dressed and figured out her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And we turned on the television and there it is.
It's everywhere.
And it didn't take as long as I thought it was going to be. I don't like to wait for things.
Yeah. Are you impatient?
I'm a little bit impatient, especially when it comes to something like television, when it's just like, oh, just turn it off. But it happened so fast.
Yeah.
There was like a million people lined up outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then like all the little cars raced in and then they got married.
Yeah. I like all of the ceremony and whatnot. I think it's very cool. If you're English, you probably don't think it's all that cool. You're probably like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is where my tax dollars go. Why? Why?
Yeah, that's got to be a little frustrating.
Which, you know, I guess I can relate to that. But since I'm not English, I'm like, oh, let's watch the show.
Let's enjoy it.
Let's watch the show.
Someone else's dollar.
You know? Because it's fun. And the queen comes in looking all grumpy.
And we had an American coming in this
time. And we had an American. A black American.
A black American.
A biracial black American. Bringing the black American experience to the royal family.
And the ceremony had quite a few elements.
They were not ready, the royals.
No.
They weren't. Let me get his title correct. He's the Most Reverend Michael Curry, Bishop of the Episcopal Church, 27th Presiding Bishop of the Episcopal Church.
I'm sorry, that's your church, isn't that?
Yes.
Were you not confirmed?
I was confirmed, so he's my bishop. Yeah. I guess, yeah, mm-hmm. Mike.
Did you feel a special kinship with your bishop?
I did a little bit, especially when he started black preaching and going on and, you know, expecting. I feel like he kind of wanted more of the call and response going on because nobody was saying amen.
No.
Nobody was like, there was none of that.
Megan's mom was nodding.
She was. And Oprah was swaying.
Yeah.
So he was talking about love and fire and the power of love. And I was like, cue Luther Vandross, power of love, love power. Amen. And the royals looked so uncomfortable. I loved their discomfort.
Yeah.
When he started talking about slavery and the queen was like fidgety, he started talking about Martin Luther King and Baum and Gilead. I was like, oh my goodness. And look how uncomfortable they are. It brought me joy that they were uncomfortable with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Suck it to the British Empire. Get in there, Megan.
I like to that she hugs the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And when they ask her not to do it, this was her response. I'm an American. I hug.
I'm an American. I'm going to have a black preacher at my wedding and a gospel choir.
And I'm going to hug these guards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people have complained because basically it was like non-consensual hugging.
Mm.
And like the guards probably didn't want her to hug them. But I just like her answer that was like, this is who I am. Take it or leave it.
She's like, did the queen say anything to you about that? Oh, she didn't? Okay, so you can shut up.
Yeah.
Or maybe she probably did have a word with her afterwards.
She just like stops and talks to people too when they're like marching places. And
yeah.
It's very Diana. I mean, people have compared her a lot to Diana.
Yeah, yeah. And you can see why, you know, Harry would be like, oh, I like her.
Yeah.
She's so nice. She's like a nice human being. Or at least she appears to be so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't know her. We have no idea.
No clue.
No.
I liked her mom. There's something about her mom that just seemed very...
She was so zen. So, like, peaceful. And just, like, in the middle of, like, all of this hoopla and spectacle and craziness, she's just there like, oh, my daughter's getting married, so I'm here.
I love the fact that the queen wore green.
Oh, yes.
And she wore green, and who wore it better? I'll tell you who did.
The queen was a little neon. I was like, whoa, that's bright, Liz, girl. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that... What's her mother's name? Doria
Ragland.
Yeah.
She had her locks pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
But she had her nose hanging.
Yeah.
Oh, I was really impressed with her.
Mm.
And she sat there alone for the longest time.
Yeah. Poised.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting. she seemed much happier, like, after the ceremony was done. Like, after all the stuff was done and they go back to sign the, what you call it, marriage license mm-hmm. or whatever. And they came back and she seemed much more relaxed and just like, okay, like, everything is done. It's okay. Nothing crazy happened. And my daughter's married.
She is a yoga teacher
and a social worker.
God love her.
Doing good all over the freaking place.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And I think that when her daughter started to make the money, mm-hmm. I think she paid for her to go to graduate school.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is sweet.
Yeah.
Look at them. Oh, mommy, daughter. Loveliness.
Yeah.
Oh. I also loved...
There was a little bit of like trepidation in her eyes, I felt, though.
Yeah.
Like when she was like, oh, what is she getting into?
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, I don't think I would want my daughter to marry into that family.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Especially, I mean, you know, after things that have happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
But I feel like the, if not their true feelings about outsiders have changed, I think just the response from the rest of the world, like what happened with Diana, how Fergie was treated, I feel like they, just as a in a PR sense, are going to be better.
Yeah.
Or treat Meghan better, at least publicly.
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. The whole fact that she had been divorced once.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And the whole reason that, like, this line of the family
exactly exists
in power is because
right.
someone abdicated because they were going to marry a divorced American woman.
Yeah. But also kind of...
the queen's uncle?
Yeah, her uncle.
Was supposed to be the king, right?
He was the king and abdicated because he wanted to marry Wallace Simpson.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and... But, you know, they were also Nazi sympathizers. So, you know, Britain, they dodged a bullet on that one.
Oh, Wallace Stevens, that they were Nazi sympathizers? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You've not watched any documentaries?
I am not really into the royals that much.
Yeah.
It's not something I follow too closely.
Well, I like the history of it.
I enjoy it too. I like to dip in.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Yeah. No, he was, I can't remember his name. Of course, I should remember his name.
George?
He might have been her dad was a George. That was his the name he took as king, Liz's dad. But her uncle, I can't remember what his name was.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. He was not a great person. Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, I'll help you out, Hitler, if, you know, you just make sure, you know, I stay king and everything is cool with me, whatever. It's like, oh, God, what an asshole.
Yeah.
And also, if you watch The Crown. Did you watch The Crown?
I started, I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bit of an asshole. I mean, his family did give him the cold shoulder after he abdicated, but also, I think he was just an asshole.
Yeah.
But that's just me. What do I know?
I'm excited to see what's going to happen with him, though.
Yeah. I love the choir at the end of the ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
And they were singing This Little Light of Mine, and you could hear it, like, coming out of the church. But it was very, like, Baptist church, you know, in the middle of nowhere, This Little Light of Mine. I was like, oh, my goodness. I don't know, somebody from the continent was doing the I can't even do the sound, but, like, the yee, yee, I can't do it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the yee, yee.
The wheelation.
Yeah, but it was, like, really loud. I was like, who is that? But she was doing it. She was celebrating.
Yeah. I love that was happening inside.
I know. In Windsor Castle.
Yeah.
Ah, I love it. And there was a princess from Lesotho there. The prince and princess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. She was like, let me come show some support.
Mm. Who else was there? It was Oprah?
Oprah, Idris Elba.
Did Idris come?
Oh, ooh, yes, he did. Idea. He did. Oh, he did arrive at the ceremony with his fiance.
Yeah.
And, and what's her name? Serena Williams.
Oh, Serena Williams. Yeah, I remember that she came too.
Mm-hmm.
Had you gone,
mm-hmm.
would you have worn a fascinator?
Fascinator or hat? I probably would have gone with a fascinator just because I have a small head and my head is shaved. I think a hat, it would be a little too much.
Yeah.
So maybe a fascinator.
What kind of fascinator would you wear?
I'm thinking kind of Sasha Velour.
Oh. Right?
Something, you know, one bald queen to another. I think she could give me some tips on something funky to wear. Like something a little, something tall, something with some height to it and kind of swirly,
Maybe you could represent Iceland with a nice hot dog on top of your head. Or like an artistic rendering of a hot dog.
Or, just a couple of horns.
Exactly. And just a single artfully rendered ram's horn. Or sheep's horn.
You know, just maybe to the side, give it a little extra.
Did you see the picture I posted of the ram's horn or the sheep's horn from the museum?
Yeah, with the nail on the end.
There's like a Lee press-on nail on the end of it. It's gorgeous.
So maybe that's what I would wear. I'd put that on my head and go to a royal wedding.
Super glam.
Mm-hmm. I think the queen would love it.
Clearly. She was wearing the neon green bodysuit.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on?
Pantsuit.
And did you see her wave at power the end, like as they were leaving the ceremony? She like barely waves these days. She kind of lifts her arm up a little bit off her lap and like wiggles it.
She's been doing that way for a long time.
Yeah, she is like, whatever. That's all you're getting, people. It's a little jiggle jiggle.
She always has that
jiggle.
Bag, too. What do you think's in that bag?
Big Mama got her purse. What are you talking about? She don't go anywhere without her purse.
I think she probably has like 9,000 Kleenexes inside that purse. I can't imagine what else she would need inside there.
Some peppermints.
Some peppermints, some hard candy, some Werther's Originals.
Come on, she's got some Werther's Originals and some balled up Kleenex. And a checkbook. I don't know why you act like you don't know what she has in there.
A checkbook? When is the queen going to write a check?
She's going to write you a check for £1 for your birthday, because that's what grandmas do. And maybe a dukedom if you're real nice. Oh, and I didn't know this. So Meghan and Harry are the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. That's the title that she bestowed upon them.
Not according to Astrid.
And what did Astrid say?
Well, Astrid's whole deal was like, I want to see the princess. Where's the princess? Show me the princess. And I was like, actually, I think she's going to be a duchess. And Astrid's like, no, she's a princess.
Sticking to her guns. It's summer.
It's summertime and she's a princess.
Yeah, sorry, Astrid, not a princess. But the last Duke of Sussex was an abolitionist.
I read this, yes.
And he was like very like pro like human rights. And I was like, oh, that's kind of great.
Good job.
Like, yeah. I was like, good on you, Liz. All right, okay.
Come through, Queen of England.
A little bit. You got to take the crumbs because, you know, the British Empire has a lot of blood on its hands.
Ooh, yes, it does. Ooh, you know, daddy.
Like soaked to the bone.
Soaked to the bone.
But that was a nice gesture.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you go.
There's still lots of awkward situations that are probably going to come up.
Oh, I'm sure lots
Just really
will.
Looking forward to them.
I'm old.
And I hope that she handles them with, you know,
mm-hmm.
aplomb, but also with, you know, she maintains her...
Yeah, with grace, but with some...
integrity.
Yeah. Or just, you know, assert herself.
Yeah. Yes, I hope she's assertive.
Mm-hmm. And she's been so far.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, girl.
That's right.
Fingers crossed.
So, to wrap things up, we just want to say, subscribe.
Mm-hmm. And rate.
And review.
Rate and review. That does help.
Yeah.
So, on the Facebook, on the Instagram, you can see all the pics of the crazy art that Jonas saw on the Instagram.
I try to take pictures of the best art that I saw there.
Yeah.
At Soft and Soft Myth.
At Raisin and Hot Dog on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. No Snapchat, because we're too old for that shit.
The impermanence bothers me. I need my media to stick around.
And, yeah.
And we'll see you for episode 8 next time.
We do surprisingly have more to talk about.
Yeah,
so
there's
stay
lots
tuned.
More to talk about.
Stay tuned.
We want to talk about more some travel stuff. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about food. I want to talk about food at least.
Yeah, you do want to talk about food.
I'm excited about that.
I don't have any more poop stories. Maybe Snorri can make up some shit for me.
What?
See what I did there?
I see what you did
there. Make up some shit because of the poop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now we have literally hit rock bottom.
And yeah, I guess that's all for this episode.
Yeah, so we'll see you next time on
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
Bless y'all.
Bless y'all.